Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
As we focus on Easter and the Easter message this morning, there's one thing that each and every one of us, one thing that each and every person I think in this room this morning, or maybe even out online this morning, we have one thing that's in common as we come into this service today. One thing, and we all likely, very likely did exactly the same thing as we prepared to come to church this morning. Some of us, how many of you ate breakfast? Oh, see, you all ate breakfast, but not everybody ate breakfast this morning. Some of us drove to church. Who drove the car? Okay, but not all of you drove the car this morning. But one thing, even some of the little ones probably did this. One thing almost every single one of us did before we showed up today is we took a moment to take a look at ourselves in the mirror. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? Come on now, I can tell who didn't, just so you know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we all very likely at some point this morning looked in the mirror, checked ourselves out, made sure we were all set up to go to church. It might have been while you were brushing your teeth. I'm not going to ask you how many brushed your teeth. That's a personal question. You may have saw yourself in the mirror after you got out of the shower. Lord, have mercy on all of us, right? You may have seen yourself in the mirror multiple times, but nearly every single one of us had a glimpse of ourselves in a mirror at some time today, and if not today, you've done it over the past 24 hours. We're very frequently reflecting on our image in the mirror, and on Easter Sunday 2023, I want to just take a couple of moments to reflect for a few moments on the meaning of this day. If you're new to Maplewood, I've been challenging our entire faith family this entire year since the beginning of January to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life. That has been our faith family kind of goal and focus. Go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life. I love that challenge because that meets every single one of us where we're living. You might be a little person. You might be, maybe you just accepted Jesus at VBS or something like that. You can go deeper in your relationship with Jesus this year than you ever have before. You may have known Jesus for 80 years and you're a pillar in the church. Guess what? You this year can still strive to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life. Going deeper with Jesus demands that we reflect. Going deeper with Jesus demands that we reflect, not by looking at our reflection in the mirror, but by reflecting on how Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, how all of that actually is making a difference in our lives. If there's anything that happens this morning during this time together, I hope you reflect on what Jesus has done for all of humanity and how has that made a difference in your life. As I look across this crowd this morning, I know some of you very well, and I know that Jesus has made all the difference in your life. For others, it may very well be true that Jesus has made some impact on your life. As a matter of fact, I'd say we're all in that bucket this morning because all of us are in church on Easter Sunday. Jesus has made some sort of impact in our life that we might be here or that we might got drugged here by someone, right? And still for the rest, if we're really honest, and it's okay to be honest, Jesus has had very little impact in our lives. It's okay to be in that place. No judgment, no condemnation from me this morning. Let's just be honest. So here as we find ourselves together, Easter Sunday 2023, celebrating the empty tomb. And I hope this morning as we celebrate the empty tomb, we take a couple of moments to reflect on the empty tomb's relevance and impact on how we're living our lives. So let's take a few moments this morning to reflect on the meaning of the empty tomb, of Christ's victory over death. And I would like to reflect on the meaning of the empty tomb through the looking glass. Get ready, kids. The looking glass of love. Sticker time. There's a very good short passage here that the Apostle John wrote in one of his letters to the church. Earlier at the beginning of the service, I read the story of Easter Sunday morning, and I talked about the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, that came from the book of John, and John identified himself in his gospel as he didn't say me, John. He said, oh, it was the disciple that Jesus loved. Don't put no eggs there. That's not an egg time, kid. I'm just explaining. But John writes these words in one of his letters to the church that are up on the screen. I hope you can see it. If not, I'm going to read this and a little bit more to you this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us as we love others. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone, everybody here is eligible, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. Is that the word of the Lord this morning? Amen?
Amen.
As I reflect this morning on those words, my first reflection this morning is, kids, here's another sticker moment. Love is a verb. You hear that, church? Love is a verb. Love is an action word, Zakara. Love is an action word. It is not a descriptive word. It's not an adjective. It's not an adverb. Yes, things can be lovely. We can be in love. I'm in love with Pastor Vicky. By the way, if y'all are new this morning, Pastor Vicky and I are spouses. That's really weird to say from the stage if you're near. You're like, wow, that's some church. We've been married for almost 32 years. We enjoy doing ministry together. But I am in love with Pastor Vicky, but the love is an action word. Love does things. Okay? Love does things. Love moves. Love moves us into action. When we see a need, people following Jesus are moved to do something about it out of love. Can you say love? Yeah, you got it this morning. When we see a need, we move because we love. Love, it just doesn't inspire. Love acts. Love acts. It's one thing to have a heart that is tickled or to get the warm fuzzies when we sing worship, when we sing good worship songs, right? It's one thing to get our hearts tickled. It's one thing for the hair on your arm or the back of your neck to raise while you're singing a song. But it's an entirely different thing to be moved, church, into action. Love moves. It's entirely different to be moved into action and actually impact the lives of the people around us. Do you know that you are the most important influence on the lives of everybody around you? Your mood sets the mood for the people around you. You in a good mood, everybody having a good day. But if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Just saying it. When we're moved by love and when we're moved into action, we are moved to influence and impact the lives of other people. And it makes me reflect this morning, as I'm looking into the looking glass, how frequently am I moved into action by the love of Jesus in my life? Church, how frequently am I moved into action by the love of Jesus? And how frequently do I just simply do things out of a sense of obligation? As the boy's grandmother would say, it's my duty and responsibility. Do we do it out of a sense of duty and responsibility, or do we act because we're influenced by the love of Jesus? There's a big difference between those two things this morning, folks. Jesus makes all the difference.
Amen.
Jesus makes all the difference when his life and his death and his resurrection are making a difference in how we live our lives. Love is a verb. It does things. It moves. It acts. It impacts. When we love like Jesus loves, we catch a glimpse of our Heavenly Father in the looking glass. Reflection number two. So love is a verb. Love dies. What? Put a sticker on Zakara. Love dies. We just read it in that passage there this morning. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to die for our sins. The type of love followers of Jesus are going to allow to penetrate into the crevices of our souls lays itself down for one another. Jesus told His disciples, if you're my friends, you'll do what I command, and my command is that you love one another. And no greater commandment, there's no greater way to express love than to lay down your life for your friends. Love dies. It lays itself down for others. And you're like, well, that doesn't sound very appealing. Not a real good marketing package to put on that Happy Meal. But the truest, church, I want you to hear this morning, because we live in a society that tells us the exact opposite. The truest form of love is other-centered. The world lies to us and tells us that the truest form of love is self-centered. Love yourself. Make yourself feel good at the cost of everybody else around you. But the truth is that the truest form of love is other-centered. It's so concerned about the welfare and survival and the success of another that it is willing to lay itself down that others may live. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son so that we might live, so that we might be saved. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, dying in your place and in my place. He was our substitute that we might have life here on earth and life everlasting. And in the cross, in that cross up there this morning, we see the love of God reflected as a dying Savior. It would be really depressing if that's where the story of Jesus ended, wouldn't it? With the cross. It would be really depressing. Stories of sacrifice, stories where someone gives their life to save someone else, they're the makings of a tragedy. Think about real life stories where someone gave of their own life to save someone else. They're tragic. They're noble, noble acts of heroism, but tragic nonetheless. But fortunately, our reflection on this story doesn't end with Jesus dying on the cross. That reads third reflection this morning, kids. Get a sticker. Get a sticker. My third reflection for us this early Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Love's a verb. Love dies. Love rises up.
Amen.
Church, love rises up. Amen? Amen? Love rises up. Come on. Love rises up. You can't keep a good man down. There's a great song, I think New Song sings that, hear it on K-Love every once in a while. You can't keep a good man down. Why? Because love rises up. Love, by its very nature, is optimistic. Love is optimistic. How many, and you don't have to raise your hand this morning because this is another one of those questions, right? How many of you see a glass half full in life this morning? How many of you woke up this morning and saw life as a glass half full? How many of you woke up this morning and saw life as a glass half empty? You know what I'm talking about here? It's just how you look at the world. everything's going for me or everything's going against me. Love is optimistic. Love always sees the glass half full. Because its very nature rises up. Love, demonstrated by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, is optimistic. It's encouraging. Love is an encouraging thing. Are you an encouragement to others? Or are you Danny or Debbie Downer? Love rises up. It's encouraging. To encourage someone else is to lift their spirits. Lift their spirits. To encourage someone else is to jumpstart them so they can find their courage. We are encouraging someone. Maybe we've got a brother or sister going along the road of life. Their battery's dead alongside of the road. Brother or sister comes up. We jumpstart them by encouraging them so they can move along in their journey. Love is optimistic. Love encourages. Aren't you encouraged today by the reality of the empty tomb?
Amen.
Come on, folks. Are you encouraged by that?
Amen.
Amen. You are, because love, like heat, rises up. Love rises up. It's optimistic. It's encouraging. And a love that rises up, a Jesus kind of love, it just doesn't rise up. It's not just over. It's not encouraging. It overcomes. Love overcomes. The love of Jesus that John writes about rises. It overcomes in every circumstance, even death. Amen. There's an implication to this morning. Love rises up, even transcends death. Pastor, how can you be so positive all the time? I get that question every once in a while. How can you be so how can you always be so glass half full? Every time I see you, your glass is always half full. How can you be so optimistic? How, you ask? Because the love of Jesus that we're celebrating this morning rises up.
Amen.
The love of Jesus rises up. He is risen.
Amen.
I caught some of you off guard there. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. When you embrace the reality that the love of Jesus has overcome the grave, there really isn't any circumstance in this world that can keep you down.
Amen.
I want to say that one more time because some of you didn't hear it and you need to hear it this morning. You need to let it sink in. When you embrace the reality that the love of Jesus has overcome the grave, there really isn't any circumstance that can keep you down.
Amen.
That is the hope that we're celebrating this morning. If you find yourself down, church, if you find yourself depressed, if you find yourself discouraged, if you find yourself pessimistic, if you find yourself looking at a half-empty cup every day when you're getting up out of bed, friend, I want to ask you, do you really know the love of my Jesus? Do you know the love? Because love rises up. And that leads me to my final reflection this morning. You kids are probably out of stickers already, but this is one you can do. Love not only rises up, love lives. Come on, folks. Love lives. Love lives in Jesus Christ. Friend, the tomb was empty. Where you at? The tomb was empty.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is alive. And sometimes I think we live our lives just like you responded to that statement. We let it go right past us and we get stuck in the rut that we're in. Jesus is alive. The tomb was empty. We are celebrating this morning a living Savior who conquered the grave, who has saved us from the curse of sin, and who is calling us out by name.
Amen.
This morning, just like he called Mary Magdalene out by name on that Easter Sunday morning there outside the tomb. She was all concerned that the tomb was empty and she was so focused on her earthly circumstances. And there's this man standing there that she thinks is the gardener, and she looks at him and she said, "They've stolen his body." She's just so traumatized by the fact that the tomb is empty. She thinks that grave robbers have come or the Romans have come and they've stolen Jesus' body away. And she's just a hot mess right there in front of this empty tomb, and her emotions have taken over. There's no rationality in her life, and all of a sudden, the gardener says, Mary. Mary. And she looks up. It just kind of like snaps her out of it. And she looks up and she recognizes that voice. Have you ever recognized the voice of someone who's passed before? Have you ever recognized the voice in someone else? My nephew, every time he speaks, he sounds exactly like his dad who passed 10, 15 years ago. Just you hear Tim's voice and Tyler's voice. And Mary hears this voice, and I'm sure in her mind she's like, wow, that sounded a lot like Jesus. Mary, calling her name. Jesus is calling her out. And she, it suddenly the emotion kind of stops. And she's brought out of her state. And she looks this man in the eyes. And she doesn't see the gardener who she thought that there was there as a distraction. But she sees Jesus, the living Savior, standing there, concerned about her emotional state and her situation that she was experiencing in that moment. And he says, Mary, and at that moment she recognized that love lives. Jesus, Rabboni, teacher, she says in the scripture. Jesus, folks, is alive. Jesus, folks, he's alive this morning. And I want you all to know, Zakara, I want you to know this too. Jesus is alive and he's calling you out by name. Each and every one of us, he's calling us out by name, regardless of where you're at. Why is he calling out to me, Pastor? He's calling out your name because he wants to be alive in you. Amen. He wants to be alive in you through the power of his Holy Spirit. John wrote, we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Folks, the purpose of Easter is not to hunt Easter eggs. At an Easter egg hunt, we had a beautiful Easter egg hunt yesterday. Fun for the kids, great time. That's not the main purpose of Easter. It's not to dress up in pretty spring colors. Although that's nice. Eliza has a beautiful hat. Pat has a nice bonnet. I saw a couple of others this morning. That's wonderful, but that's not the purpose. The purpose of Easter is to call our attention to the reality, and listen up. I don't want you to miss it. The purpose of Easter, why we are here this morning, is to call our attention to the reality that love lives. Amen. Love lives in our living Savior, folks. Love lives in our living Savior who wants to live in your heart. Love lives in a living Savior who wants to live in our hearts so that his love can be lived out in our lives. Yeah. That is the beautiful story of Easter. Love lives. And God wants to have that love live in our hearts so that it can be lived out in our lives and influence the world around us. Dear friends, John writes, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Out of love, friend, and this is personal this morning for you. Okay, I want you to, you're like, is he talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you specifically. Out of love, Jesus died for you. Amen. So that you might be saved. And that he might live in and through you. When we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done, we're not praying for it to happen through somebody else. We're praying that God would come in our hearts and transform us in such a way that his kingdom is coming and his will is being done through how we live our lives, motivated by the fact that love lives. Love lives, embodied in the resurrected Christ and embodied in his followers, who are seeking to go deeper with him than they've ever gone before in their lives. As you reflect this morning, church, as you reflect in the looking glass of God's love today, it would be even more tragic if we refused to receive the living love of Christ this morning in our hearts. We talked earlier about how it is tragic when someone gives their life to save another. Think of 9/11. Think of other emergencies where we've seen first responders give of their lives to save other people. Tragedy, but people saved, right? Would be, what's even more tragic is when the object of the rescue attempt rejects the rescue mission. Then everyone winds up dying for no good reason. That's tragic. That is tragic. You may think that the Easter story is just a tradition that we celebrate, or it's some story in that dusty old Bible that's on the shelf. But the truth is that the Easter story can very, very realistically become part of your story, the story that you are living out right here and right now. For some of you, the Easter story has made all the difference in your life. It has made all the difference. For others, I'm telling you, there's no better day than today, with a capital T. There's no better day than today to accept the living love of Jesus Christ into your own life, into your own heart. If you have the courage to give your heart to Jesus, I'm telling you, this living love will never let you down. It's like a country song. I might write that one day. This living love will never let you down. It's kind of got a rhythm to it, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, it's true. The living love of Jesus will never let you down. It will become the foundation upon which you can center your life upon. It will be the foundation upon which you can solidly stand. It will become the foundation in which you can find confidence to face the things that you're facing in life. It will become the source of inner strength and power that will enable you to surpass all worldly expectations in your job, in being a parent, in being a neighbor. The living love of Jesus, it'll never let you down, friends.
Amen.
All you have to do is accept it. And if you do accept it, you will never be the same. In a really cool way. In a really cool way. Reflect this morning. How has the living love of Jesus impacted your life? How has it impacted your life this morning? He wants to do a work in all of us that takes us deeper, changes us, transforms us, and makes us into the people He always intended us to be. Rock stars in the kingdom. He wants you to be a rock star in the kingdom. His disciples have this potential. The potential's in you to be unlocked if you'd only stop holding back and have the courage to lay your life down in front of Him and allow Him to come in and take all of you and change you forever.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.